The Supreme Court ruled yesterday in a 6-3 majority that former presidents have absolute immunity from prosecution for official acts that fall within their exclusive sphere of constitutional authority and are presumptively entitled to immunity for all of those official acts, but they don't have immunity for unofficial or private actions. So what does this mean for the case of Special Counsel Jack Spinth against Donald Trump? Let's bring in Matthew Schneider, leader of investigations and white collar defense practice at Honigman Law. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. One thing it certainly means for this case is it'll be delayed, and that's not a surprise to anybody. It's going to take a lot longer. Anybody who thought that we'd have this case resolved before the election they were mistaken, and it's going to take a long, long time for this to get done, and that sometimes is what happens in the legal system. That's certainly happening here now.
So does Jack Smith take this case to the lower court, and then do they list everything that they have, therefore it becoming public?
Yes, it really has to, because the Supreme Court decided on some things we know what official acts are, but on some things we really don't. And if we think about what the Supreme Court actually is, it rules on the law and what the legal decisions are and what the law means. But it's not a fact finder. It doesn't gather evidence. It doesn't question witnesses. That's only for the trial courts. And some of these questions that are raised about, for example, President Trump's interactions with Vice President Pence, well, what actually happened and what did the witnesses say? That's really for the trial courts to decide. The Supreme Court is in no capacity to do that. They don't have a witness bench up there where witnesses come up. They've got to do that in the lower court, develop their arguments, and then the Supreme Court will then take that up again on appeal, I'm sure, when that comes down to that road again in the future.
But Matthew, they can't consider intent. And to me, for a prosecutor, that's what a prosecutor uses when they decide to charge, is what the intent was.
Right. And certainly intent is some of the elements here. But also there's other instructions that will go on to the lower court. And it's really a fact-finding exercise. Intent is only one of those things. There's a lot of other facts that need to be found beyond that, that the trial courts will have to sort out.
Sotomayor's dissent was blistering. I want to read a quote to you. When he, and I don't know whether she's saying he in terms of the president or Trump specifically, when he uses his official powers in any way under the majority's reasoning, he now will be insulated from criminal prosecution. Orders the Navy's SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival, immune. Organizes a military coup to hold on to power, immune. Take a bribe in exchange for a pardon, immune. Is she right, or is this just a very uncomfortable we don't know and we'll have to wait and see based on what the district does?
Well, I don't think that's correct because, for example, the bribery example, yes, it is an official act to appoint an ambassador. It is not an official act to take a bribe. That's not the case at all. That very subject came up at oral.
But isn't that the corrupt intent, which the Supreme Court has just said can't be considered?
Right, but that is for the trial courts to sort out. And so I don't think that's accurate to say that. I also thought Sotomayor made a mistake in the very first paragraph in which she said, the court gives the former president all the immunity he asked for and more. Well, that's
right.
Not true. He asked for everything. And I also really find this choice of words about, you know, kind of saying that this is a victory for President Trump. The dissent kind of indicated that. Well, you know, it's also a victory for President Biden because this means that President Biden also cannot be prosecuted for his official acts down the road. So this affects both parties identically. So that's why.
And Trump has hinted that he would like to prosecute him for not securing the border. Well,
right. That's out the door now.
Yeah. Biden just got to get out of jail free card on that.
Yeah, that cannot be done, and the Supreme Court just indicated that. So I take some issue with this dissent kind of pointing that this is a partisan result when that in itself really affects both sides and for all presidents, regardless if they're a Republican or a Democrat or something else for the future.
So does it come down to character, Matthew, then, for whoever the president is?
Yeah, to a certain extent, we think that the president will not – openly murder people, right? But that's not really where this will come down in the future. Those are the big questions. Those are the things that really don't happen. Where it could come down in the future is where the president commits a more subtle crime, like a wire fraud or a mail fraud or a bribery. Those types of things that actually have come up in presidential issues before with President Nixon and other things. It's more of those subtle cases that are less extreme where these limits will be tested in the future.
So you don't subscribe then to the dissent where they believe this sort of makes the president a king above the law, who, if you count it as an official act, can do whatever he or she wants?
Well, no, I don't, because the president does have official acts, and what are outside the scope of that authority, for example, in that very, very instance of taking the bribe itself, that's not an official act. Taking that money for that reason, that's not an official act. And also what I really subscribe to is the fact that the Supreme Court isn't the one to make this decision. This is for the lower district courts to sort out the evidence, to accept the facts and before the fact finder, and then they can bring that back up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
So I'm going to ask you to be a bit speculative here. One of the parts of the Jack Smith indictment related to the DOJ, that's now going to be tossed out. But a significant part was about this so-called fake elector scheme, but also putting pressure on local authorities or state authorities to slow walk or change their certification process of the vote. Most notably here in Michigan, he reached out personally to the Speaker of the House and to Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky, even invited them to the White House where pressure was applied. Is that an official act? It's certainly on the face of it doesn't seem to be.
Right. That's a great question and precisely what we're talking about here. Now, the president would say that that's an official act because this is a federal election and he has the interest in making sure that federal elections are secure. He's a federal office holder. This is an election in all 50 states and the territories and wants to make sure that that's appropriately done. To the contrary, the president of the United States really has no role of dealing with local election officials. That is purely a state operation.
The Constitution says so.
Right. And so the argument that this is really a local issue and not a federal issue, there's a strong argument to say that those are not official acts. Those are more campaign acts or political acts that the president engaged in. And so there's strong arguments that could be made on that side as well.
And Matthew, what about in impeachment? Does the Congress need to really look at impeachment more seriously, not just impeach people willy-nilly and you know, remove bad actors when you have somebody who's done something wrong?
Yes, I mean, I think we saw that after the impeachment of Bill Clinton. It seems like every year somebody brings an impeachment resolution, and then it happened with Trump twice, and now they're doing it again with Biden. Impeachment is becoming so regular. The Founding Fathers never wanted it that way. They wanted it to be extremely rare and something that almost never happens. And now it's being used so frequently, it would be great if we could actually kind of focus on lawmaking and getting the jobs done.
Well, it was supposed to be used when there was actual criminal wrongdoing, like the bribing for an ambassadorship, right? That's where you would use impeachment to, in a legitimate sense, not a partisan prosecution.
Right. I think it's spun a bit out of control. Impeachment is a political tool. It's left to the political branches, those branches that are elected. But unfortunately, I think that process is being abused.
Yeah, I don't know if the Founding Fathers would recognize some
really,
of the things.
Really quickly, we know that Trump's attorneys are drafting some pleadings as it relates to getting the hush money case
kicked.
Manhattan
case.
Yeah. Where would that fall?
That doesn't
on the
seem
official,
like an official act.
Unofficial. Where'd that fall on that meter?
A lot of that took place before the president was the president. There were some evidence that was raised at trial where he had conversations with Michael Cohen while he was president. The Trump team is saying that tainted the whole proceeding. And from what we've seen from this judge, I don't think the judge is going to go along with that. It just doesn't seem to be strong enough for that particular judge, knowing what we've seen in that case, to overturn it.
Matthew Schneider, leader of investigations and white collar defense practice at Honigman Law. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, it's an interesting case that has become, you know, a national interest. A Massachusetts judge says it's a mistrial when it comes to Karen Reed. We'll look into it at 7:49.